I want to talk to you today about breakthrough. Somebody say breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
And we started last week, and we started to talk about, before we do that, let's put our Bibles over our head. Let's say it like we mean it. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I am ready to receive the infallible Word of God. Having received the Word of God, I will do the Word of God. Amen. We started talking last week about a situation that many of you can probably relate to. And you're in a situation where you have your back up against a wall, and it seems like there's no way out. It seems like the situation is hopeless. And what I want to teach you today, continue to teach, we started last week, is how do you come out of that situation, not barely making it. See, to understand the real Christian life is not just to barely make it, it is to thrive, to excel. Jesus said it this way, and there's a lot of critics, there's a lot of nowadays, a lot of people who act like they're spiritual, and they think that a life of, they equate misery with holiness. No. Read your Bible. See, be careful that your theology isn't coming from men. Be careful that your theology is coming from the Word of God. Amen. And the Bible says, in the presence of God is an abundance of joy. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. See, the Spirit of God isn't a spirit of misery. It's a spirit of joy. Amen. It's a spirit of peace. It's a spirit. God is a God. Jesus, how many know Jesus was God? And when Jesus came to this earth, he is the picture of who God is. And he is showing us that, let me tell you what, everything, all the situations, you never read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You never read any, those are the depictions of Jesus Christ. You never read any stories where Jesus comes to this situation and says, oh man, I don't know what we're going to do in this situation. Somebody say never. But you hear people on the radio, you know what, trying to peddle that trash. Let me tell you what it is. I'm smiling still, right? Yeah. It is trash. Why? Because it's not who Jesus is. Stop lying about my God. Amen? Stop peddling that and call that some kind of form of Christianity. No, real Christianity is a Christianity that understands that yes, maybe we go through some things, but with God, all things are possible. Amen? And that we understand that Paul says he glories in his infirmities because God is delivering him from those situations. Does that make sense? He didn't say, I glory in my infirmities because I just really like having a jacked up life. He doesn't say that. That's not the point. The point is, here's what he says. He says, because when I am weak, listen to what he says, then I am strong. Now that plays right into where I'm going, you know what, with this guy who had this king who had a big challenge in front of him. And you might this morning feel like you have a challenge in front of you. I'm going to teach you how to come out swinging. And not just come out swinging, but come out victorious. Can you say amen to that? So last week we saw this. We looked at this. We saw that we needed to focus on God, not the problem. Say, focus on God, not the problem. This review, we'll just take a couple minutes in review. Look what 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. And it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with the besides of the Amorites came to the battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazard's Tamar. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat feared. Ever been afraid? I like what I heard one person say. He said, you know what? Fear is not, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is to feel a fear and do the right thing anyway. Amen. Amen. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. He set himself. That's all we talked about last week, setting yourself. You feel like there's a situation in your life. You have your back up against the wall. There's no way out. Do what this man did. Set yourself towards God. Focus on God. We get so distracted by so many things. I see people even coming into church. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope this isn't you. Look at your other neighbor and say, I hope this isn't going to be you. And they're fired up, they're focused, they're doing well, and you know what? And then guess what? You know what? And their kids are doing well. This happens all the time. Listen, I don't know who I'm speaking to. Listen to me, parents. Listen to me, parents. Listen to me, parents. Listen to me, parents. Listen to me, Christian parents. We don't act like other parents. We're Christian parents. You know what? And you say, oh, are you against sports? I'm not against sports. I'm against anything that comes before God. Well, they do. But listen, you can justify it for all you want, but your kids are busy enough. You know what? And then you're going to put them in some crazy, you know what, thing and surround them with all kinds of, you know what? You better watch who you're putting your kids around, because kids got phones nowadays. You're trying to scare. I ain't trying to scare. I'm trying to get you to wake up and recognize, you know what? We aren't living in Barney 5 days no more. Can somebody say amen? Amen. But you're still responsible for your children. All I'm saying is, you know what? We need to turn our focus on God. Pastor, are you getting upset? No, I'm getting fired up because I need you to hear something. We are only here. The only time, listen, what is our job? Our job is to help you raise your kids. So here's what I would do if I were you. I would get your kids. I would not let anything be in the way on Wednesday night that you bring your kids here. Anything. Yeah, but coach said, if my kid's not here at practice, we practice on Wednesday. If they're not here, see, listen. Here is the justification. The justification is, Pastor, you know what? We're not going to go to hell on this. Listen, the pathway to any direction, is steps towards that direction. I'll give you a chance to say amen. The path to any direction is steps towards that direction. All I'm saying is we only meet twice a week. If I were you, you know what? I wouldn't, if the coach said, but Johnny can't be on the team. I say, well, listen, coach, you're running the team, but I'm responsible. Do you know you could minister to that man? Maybe that man used to be an elder in a church. Maybe as God has called you to influence him instead of allowing him to influence you. See, if we just keep on caving in to this society of secularism, how many recognize we are becoming a secular society? And who's going to change that? I'm just telling. And thank God for godly politicians, you know, the few of them that are out there. And make sure you're voting for the politicians who are godly. Amen. Amen. And just because they have a little pin that says God bless America is not the point. Amen. Watch what they do. Side note, but in a very important note. But listen to what I'm saying. Maybe it's your call to influence that coach. And you can say, listen, coach, it's up to you. You can have practices on Wednesday if you want. But if you have them on Wednesday, I can't come. You know, I don't know that this is true. When I was a kid, they didn't have any Little League on Sunday. Now I hear there's soccer and Little League and all, you know, baseball and soccer, all kinds of things on Sunday. Why? Here's why. You know, listen, you know how many of those kids are Christian kids on those soccer fields? If we would all just act like Jesus and say to the coaches, no, maybe they'd revert back. You know, yeah, but they're not going to. Okay, so what? What do you think? Who's a famous soccer player? You know what I mean?
Pele.
You think your kid is going to be Pele? Listen, I don't mean to be cynical. I doubt it. Just my point. You know what? And all I'm doing is reviewing. You know what? And maybe, you know what? Maybe your kid doesn't have his back up against the wall now, but you know what? Maybe in 10 years, you know what? Your 6-year-old is going to be 16. You know, in 5 years, your 6-year-old is going to be 11 years old. You know what? Maybe he's going to have a chance to smoke some marijuana. Or even nowadays to, what's the big thing? Not crack, but not vaping. Yeah, not vaping. Come on, somebody, help me out. Meth. You know what? Maybe you think your child at 11 years old isn't going to be introduced to meth? You know what? Wake up, parents. You know what? And I'm telling you what. I tell you what. I'm glad, you know what, that my children have a history of every Sunday and every Wednesday being in church. You know, listen, and at this church, they're learning more to do than just coloring pictures of Jesus. Can you say amen? Okay, all right. Got your back up against the wall? Focus on Jesus. That's what this king does. He focuses on Jesus, number one. Number one. Number two. Remind yourself, you can't do this and ask God for his help. Remind yourself, you can't do this. Some of the reasons why we get such in the mess that we are, because we try this and try this and try this and try this and try this, and after all this stuff doesn't work, sometimes, somebody say sometimes, we go, maybe I should pray and ask God. You know what? Wow. It's ridiculous. You know, someone say, hey, has it come to that? Do we have to pray? Does it come to that? Is it that bad? You know where that comes from? It comes from a mentality of a reliance on yourself. You're going to fix it all. No. Understand. Remind yourself. Somebody say, remind myself. I'm reminding you today. Remind yourself you can't do this by yourself, and ask God for his help. Ask God for his help. I like what John Maxwell says. John Maxwell says, if you can accomplish your dreams by yourself, your dreams are too small. If you can accomplish your dreams by yourself, your dreams are too small. Some of you have big dreams. You know what? Some of you have situations where you feel like you've already tried everything. I'm saying, here's what you should do. You should turn to God and say, God, you know what? I need your help. One person said, God helps those who help themselves. How many know? You know that's not in the Bible. Oh, Pastor, that's, you know, God, the Bible says God helps them. No, it doesn't help. The Bible doesn't say that. But what the Bible does say is this, but God does help those who ask them for his help. How many know that's absolutely in the Bible? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Second Chronicles chapter 2, verse 12. Look what Jehoshaphat does. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no... that's not where I wanted to go. For we have no power against this multitude. Yeah, this is it. That is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. See, that's what he's like. Listen. You say, I don't know the answer. You don't have to know the answer. Amen. All you have, the Bible says, do you lack wisdom? Here's what James says. Anyone. Anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally without reproach. God doesn't go, oh, you should know. No. He says, you don't know? Thank you for asking. I'll help you. Can you say amen? Amen. How many got a problem? Raise your hand if you got a problem. Amen. Raise your other hand if you got an answer. Amen. What's the answer? The answer is to ask for his help. That's all it is. So easy. Oh, look at that. Well, look at that. Both hands up. That is so beautiful. I mean, let's do that again. How many got a problem? Raise your hand if you got a problem. Okay. Raise your hand if you know the answer to that problem. Look how easy that is. You know what? Maybe that's what the Bible's talking about. Raise up holy hands to the Lord. Amen. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. That's what God is saying. We got a problem. We got an answer. Amen. I love Jehoshaphat. He's saying, you know what? We have no power against the multitude. You say, Pastor, there's no way. I've tried to get out of it. Thank you. You're in a great position. You're in a great position. Why? Because, you know what? Look, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you, God. You're going to get me out of this mess. You're going to get me out of my problem. It's you, God. And I'm recognizing, you know what, there's something that is so awesome when you'll humble yourself and say, this is deep. It's one of the problems of our society. The Bible says in the end days, men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. There's this pride and arrogance that people don't even recognize there's a God. Do you know this is true? People don't even recognize there's a God. There is a God. And he'll help anyone who asks him. You know, how many recognize look at the issues in our society. How many know our society is jacked up big time? Why? Here's why. Because, you know what? They're not like Jehoshaphat. They're not recognizing, I got a problem. I got to turn to God. They won't even recognize. But and here's the thing. And sometimes we can be like them. I said sometimes we can be like them. And we don't recognize. No. Turn to God. You know what? Our eyes are upon you. You're going to help me. You're going to help me. You know what? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Anyone who asks, the Bible says, he says this before, anyone who asks receives. What a great promise. Point number three. Are you learning something? Point number three. Remind God what he has promised you. Ooh. Remind God what he's promised you. Now, listen, before you think that that's pride, or before you think that's a haughtiness, or before you think that's arrogance, no. Let's look and see what the word says about this. Look at this. Look at what Jehoshaphat did. Look at what his example is. You are our God. You're our God. How many Christians? Raise your hand if you're in the body of Christ. Raise your hand if you're in the body of Christ. Listen. God is your God. He's not some faraway God. He knows. I like what Tamara reminded us. He knows the hairs on your head. He's counted them. He knows every detail about you. And Jehoshaphat recognizes it. Whoa. Wait a minute. Let me focus on the right thing. You know what? Remind God of his promise. You are our God. Are you not our God? who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever. What is he telling? He's saying, God, whoa, wait a minute. What is your character? Your character is to take care of your people. You did it in the past. How many know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? How many know, I believe this, that part of what Jehoshaphat is doing is not only reminding God, but reminding himself? Amen. I mean, sometimes I'm telling you, God is for you. Amen. He's on your side. And sometimes you have to just remind yourself. You know what? Isaiah says, put me in remembrance. Put me in remembrance. God has no problem. You know what? And watch this. And you know what? When you go to God, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll go to point four. Ask God for what you want. Ask God for what you want. Watch this. And be specific. I remember I had a pastor friend, and there was someone in his congregation, and their child had some hideous disease. You know what? Leukemia or something. Hideous disease. And that child, the prognosis was that they would die soon. And I remember, before we left that lunch, that pastor prayed for that child. Now, before you say amen, I'll warn you, don't say amen. And here's what he prayed. He prayed, God, I pray that you heal this child. But if it's not your will that this child would be healed, I pray that these parents would be able to sustain. Can you imagine? Do me a favor. Never pray that prayer over me. How many if your child is going through something like that, how many, please don't raise your hand, how many want a prayer like that? Or do you want a prayer like this? Father, you said in the Word of God, I come against sickness and disease. Sicknesses and disease is from the pit of hell. I come against it in the name of Jesus. I speak healing over this child from the top of his head. I don't know if that's my child. That's the kind of prayer I want.
Amen.
Amen. And read your Bible. That's the kind of prayer that Matthew prayed. That's the kind of prayer that Paul prayed. You know, all this, you know what, stuff is not in the Bible. Amen. Ask for what you want and be specific. Can I tell you about being specific? Being specific, man, you won't step out on the plank, amen? Because there's a lot of general prayers. You go, oh, God, just bless me. God, just bless me. How many know you can interpret that any way you want, amen? How many know it's different to say, Father, I thank you. You are bringing hundreds and thousands in the name of Jesus Christ. How many know that's measurable, folks? God likes specific. Look at what God did. Look at what Jesus did. How many know Jesus is God? Look what God did. When Jesus meets this guy and he says, you don't have to go over to my house. Just speak a word. And I know that my servant will be healed. Jesus was like, get out of town. He was like, man, I like this guy. He stopped and he said, I taught you this. He stopped and he said, he stopped. And he's going to have a little coaching lesson now to the apostles. I'm going to turn around and say, did you check out this guy? This guy's the man right here. I have all these religious people. Oh, you know what? Hallelujah, praise the Lord, big Bibles, all their stuff. You know what? But this guy, he's the man. Why? Because he said something very specific. Jesus, you don't have to go over. I'm just encourage you. Listen, I've learned this. We don't have to defend our God. Our God is a powerful God. Pastor, how do you know what's going to happen? Wow, that's a good question. How many glad you came today? How many came to learn something today? God has no problem doing what he said. We got a problem. Sometimes you just gotta tell people the truth. We got a problem sometimes believing what God says. But he's got no problem backing up his word. Right. Amen? Amen. Guys in the back, follow me here. 1 John, get it up here as quickly as you can. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Can you override me up here? Yeah. 1 John chapter 5, start with verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. I could say it like this. This is the confidence that we have in his word, because him is his word. We could say it like this. This is the confidence that we have in what God says. Watch this. That if we ask anything according to his will, well, Pastor, how do I know what his will is? If someone is, maybe they're 80 years old, maybe they're 60 years old, maybe they're 40 years old, maybe they're 20 years old, but they want to make sure when they die that their stuff is going to go to who they want it to go to. What do? They write a will. When they write a will, how do they, do they put a camera on, and do they do, like we said before, do they do some kind of interpreted dance? Do they mime out, what their car is, and then do they do any of that? What do? They write a will. What do they use to communicate what they want? What do they use? Paper, typewriter, words. Somebody say words. They write down words. Somebody is able to read their words, and they're able to give the car to who they want to give the car to, the house to who they want. That person is dead, and they're able to tell you what the will of that person who died is. Does that make sense? How do you know God's will? He wrote it down. Amen. His will is that none perish. That's his will. Amen. His will is that you be healed. Well, where do you get that? You know what? My will is, 3 John says, that you be in health and prosperous as your soul is prosperous. See, we don't have to guess about, somebody says, well, I'm silent. You know, people are crazy dumb sometimes. Some of the silliest things, some of the dumbest things, some of the most ignorant things has come out of my mouth during prayer time. Well, what do you talk about? We get in this religious of something that we haven't learned from here, but we heard it in church, and it becomes something. And I've had the Holy Spirit stop me right in the middle of a sentence, and I've just said, oh, God, I'm sorry. That's blah, 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 blah. Rerun. I'm not saying that. God's will you can find in the Bible. So let's look at this. Now, this is the confidence. See, God wants you confident. God wants you praying. That's why the Bible says, you know what? When you pray, it says in James, pray, you know what? Believing that you receive. For anyone who doubts, the Bible says, won't receive anything from God. Does it say that? James, is that what he says? Then it says here, ask according to his will. And what happened? He hears us. Watch this next verse. Go to the next verse. And if we know that he hears us, well, how does God hear you? Father, in the name of Jesus, you said. It's my point. Put him in remembrance of his word. Ask specifically. God, you said, you will bless my bread and water and take sickness from amongst me. That's what you said. And that's what I'm believing for. Amen? Amen. 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 And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions, what we have asked of him. Amen. Now, let me tell you what. That is a whopper of a verse that most pastors won't even tell you because they're afraid that, you know what, it might not happen. And I'm saying, you know what, you just be obedient to what God says and you watch what happens. You know that man who was lame? Peter and John. See, Peter, listen to me. Just learn to focus. I'm about to say something that can rock your world. Yeah. Amen? And you got to learn to focus on the Word of God. Don't let anything distract you. Amen? Amen? Listen to me. Peter grabs him by the hand. Read it. It's in Acts. He says, grabs him by the hand and lifts him up. Who lifted him up? Peter lifted him up. And then the Bible says, and immediately his ankles, you know what, were strengthened. I'm just asking, who lifted him up? You know what Peter believed? Peter believed Jesus that told him, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. See, listen, most people never walk in this. But most people will never walk in this, listen to me, not because it's not obtainable, but because most people just don't have the spiritual chutzpah to believe the Word of God. And we have to recognize that can be us too. You know what? I felt sometimes like the guy who is saying, you know what, the guy who his son was doing all kinds of crazy things, demon possessed and all kinds of crazy things. And he said to Jesus, he said, Lord, I believe. And then he said, help my unbelief. I've been there. Jehoshaphat was there. But he turned to God. One of the reasons why you need to be insistent in yourself. Some of y'all need to grab yourself, you know, in the morning, you know what, and just yank yourself up. Some of you need to take that snooze button and just throw it across the room. Amen. Amen. Yeah, then I'm going to break my alarm clock. Then we're in big trouble. Do whatever it takes. Amen. I'm saying, listen, you come to church and one of the things you hear is the Word of God. Faith comes through hearing. Amen. Thank God for people that God has put in my life. But I've been disciplined. Amen. You can't afford to not read your Bible every day. You read your Bible every day. I'll tell you what, you'll get happy. You'll get encouraged. You'll get, you know what? You just throw it back in Satan's face. All the doubt and fear and unbelief. We all go through it. Just throw it back in Satan's face. I ain't having none of this. Because you will. And listen, and you won't even have to work it up. It'll come out. It'll just bubble up inside you. Come to church and all of a sudden you recognize, man, I want to be like this. That's what God says. See, let God be true. Now that's on you. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's up to you. God's word is true. Amen? But whether you recognize that's true, you know, I can give you a key to Mercedes-Benz. Amen? I can give you a key to a brand new Mercedes-Benz and say, here, I bought you Mercedes-Benz. Amen? No, you didn't. Amen? You can go to Lake Lake and throw that key in Lake Lake. Amen? Amen? And your Mercedes-Benz is out here in the parking lot, and you're going to drive up in a beat-up, you know what, Winnebago. Amen? Right? You know, some of you drive in a beat-up Winnebago, you know, in the spiritual realm, and God has given you the keys to the kingdom. Amen? You ought to mark this in your Bible. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Amen. How many encouraged today? See, you know what it means? I know I was gonna teach you. That's what it means. You're gonna come out swinging. Amen. And you like I told you last week, man, you're gonna hit that guy. You know what? I'll never forget, man. He was shocked when I fully just paid right in the job. Boom! He's down for the count. Some of you need to come out swinging. Some of you need to understand, you know what, your responsibility to your family, your responsibility to your health. You know what, you can't afford, listen, I don't want to lose you, amen? You can't be dying early, amen? Oh, I got this sickness, doctor said I'm going to die by the time I told one lady, I just got mad, amen? I said, how dare that doctor tell, this doctor had told her, you know what, that her husband was going to die. I just saw her husband praising God, you know what, the Sunday before. And she calls me and says, you know, they told me he's going to die soon. And I got up. I said, you know what, I just got mad. I said, you know what, you tell those doctors they have no right to tell you when your husband's going to die. I'm going to speak over you. You know what? You're going to live a long life and serve God, and so is your husband. Guess what? I've seen that man in church at least 12 times since that time. Amen. How dare they? But you know what? I'm telling you what. Some of you getting a package, you know what? And it's that thing's rattling. You know what I mean? And the UPS driver's standing right there. And you're going to take, and he's going to say, sign this. And you're going to take, and you hear this rattlers. You know what? You know these are snakes. It says right there, SS Snake Company. You know what? Right there. The label's right there. You can see it. And you're going to sign it, and you're going to take that package in your house. And then you're going to go, woo, honey, we got snakes. Stop signing for the package. Listen, there's a lot of people speaking over you, but God speaks over you, and he says, let me tell you what, if you will find out what my word is, and if you'll speak my word, I'll hear you. And let me tell you, not only will I hear you, but if I hear you, you know. This is the confidence we have. I won't pray over you. I just don't know. I hope it happens. You know what? Come, you know, the Las Vegas prayer. Come on. You know, I want a healing. Come on, baby. You know what? I don't want to pray. I don't want Las Vegas theology. God is a God that you can trust and you can rely on. And you can say, you know what? In the name of Jesus in Nazareth, according to, you know what, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, I speak the word according to what Jesus said. You know what, to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so I'm laying hands on the sick. I'm not doing anything that I feel like. This is not religious. This is in obedience. I'm a Christian. This is obedience to the word of God. This is what I speak, and that's what I'm receiving in the name of Jesus. You come out swinging. It's time that we stop allowing Satan to, you know what, to ravish our families. Ravish, is that a word? Yeah, it's a word. I know that was a word. It's the right word. To plunder our goods. To come in and woo. No, Jehovah's fast like, nuh-uh. No, I'm coming out swinging. Amen. We'll talk about next week what happens. How many know it's going to be a good ending? Amen. Tamara?
I lost my oldest sister to breast cancer that had spread all over her body. And I'll never forget, because when that happened, then you go for your appointment and they want to know what your history is. And they want to know, okay, what's going on in your family? Okay, what happened? Soon as that happened, even just the people who were treating her were all over me to say, okay, here's what we need to do now. We need to test you. We need to see if you got that gene. We need to do this. We need to do that. And I said, no, thank you. They said, why wouldn't you do that? That just doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't you do that? I said, well, let me ask you a question. If, let's just pretend I took the test, and let's just pretend that you tell me that I've got the gene. Now what? And they said, oh, well, then you should do a full mastectomy, and we should just, you know what I mean, protect you. Do chemo. I mean, the whole, just rock and roll. Just do it. I said, I would never, ever do that. So what's the point of taking the test? Do you see? But there was a lot of pressure, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I'll never forget it. It was shortly after my sister had passed away, probably within a month or so, and I was standing outside on the grass right out here. And that sits with you. You know that sits with you. You know what I mean? That pressure. Those words that people are speaking over me. They're going to declare something in the name of trying to help me. Okay, whatever. Do they know God? Nope. Do they understand my covenant with God? Nope. So, but it's a very real pressure. So out here on the grass, the Lord said to me, if you ever get a bad report, it was just out of nowhere almost. He said, Tamara, if you ever get a bad report, those initial moments will be critical, what you do. What's he talking about? He's talking about, will I let you, who does not know God's word, who does not understand my covenant, bless your little heart anyway. You know what I mean? But you do not know these things. Will I let you declare my future? Will I let you declare my fate? That's what he was talking about. Those initial moments. See, because as soon as they say, you have cancer, I was like, oh, I have cancer? See? No.
Then you go home and tell your parents.
Exactly. And all of a sudden we receive this declaration and we start moving in it. So, sure enough, you know what? The day came, and I think I talked to you about this before. The day came when I went just for a regular exam, and then the next thing you know what? You got to come back. We got to look again. Oh my gosh. We see something on the x-ray and we see this and we see that. I was cool, you know what I mean? I was like, not, you know what I mean? Not, Lord, I don't know what's up here, but that's not for me. So I go in, but then it was crazy. Remember I talked to you, I just talked to some individuals about this. So I go over to the imaging center where the women all go, and then they give me this ginormous, this was crazy. I'm gonna show you the size first, okay? It's like this. They give me this ginormous thing. And they say, okay, here you go. Take this over there to the other building in such and such center. So I'm carrying like this, I guess they were the imaging, the x-rays. I'm carrying this like ginormous chart. You know what I mean? It's like, what is this thing? You know what I mean? Why am I carrying this all across the hospital? Isn't this weird? So I carry it over there. It's like, don't you have a more efficient way than having me carry this thing over there? But you know what? As I was heading there, there were other women with ginormous charts. And you know what I noticed? The ones who had the color of mine, like some were purple, some were red, or whatever the colors were. I checked in and I sat down with my ginormous, you know, thing there. And the one who had, I think it was purple, the one who had purple ones like mine, these women were just weeping sitting in the waiting room. And I thought, oh my goodness. And so the one lady was sitting next to me and we kind of started talking. Well, sure enough, she had been called back. So I guess purple meant you're back for the, you know, but, and then as soon as she's weeping and she's just very, very fearful sitting there and she's got her big purple ginormous chart and I got my big purple ginormous chart and I'm thinking, why in the world, do you understand the, can you put yourself in this position of what this feels like as you're just sitting there? She's crying, you know, I'm trying to minister to her, I'm not crying, I'm not going to cry, I ain't got nothing to cry about. So I'm just chilling there, just going, wow, this is a crazy system that they have because this is just baking fear into the cake big time. You know what? So then I go back in the room and they, you know, do their other test. And then I'm just, now the doctor will be in. I said, okay, thanks. So I'm sitting in the room, you know what, waiting for the doctor for, I swear, 20 minutes, just forever. 20 minutes, you know, goes by at least, and it's just quiet, and it's dark, and I'm thinking, you know what you start to think? Why is it taking so long? What's going on? You know what I mean? And it all starts, and so that's all going on, and then all of a sudden, it just happened just in an instant. The fear just, and my eyes kind of welled with tears. And I remembered the Holy Spirit's words. And I said, wait a minute. Just let's take a deep breath right here. Lord, I don't know what's going on. But here's what I do know. I've got a covenant with you. And whatever they say one way or the other, it doesn't change my covenant with you. And I'm going to fear not right here. Just chill out, Tamara. But it's a process because words, we all know words, you know what I mean? And we all know people and we all know stuff. And the doctor never even came in. Like I sat there for about another 10 minutes and all of a sudden the door cracked open and someone like popped their head in and went, oh, you're fine, doctor's not coming, bye. And that was it. And they just left and it was like, wow. Weird, right? Weird. Don't forget, I don't care what's going on, whether it's a health issue or anything. We have a covenant with God, and we have to not let people. God wants us to grab this thing at the beginning and remind ourselves right from the get-go, we've got a covenant, and then go to him and seek him and let him declare for my life, not other people. Amen?
So maybe your back is up against the wall, and maybe something that's been said tonight, today, really is ministered to you. Before you're dismissed, I want to pray a prayer with you. I want to ask you, if God spoke to you and you want to come out swinging, this is part of it, by praying. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer over you, but we're going to pray together. If that's you, I want to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. Father, you see the hands that are raised up. We're coming out swinging. We proclaim that we are the heads and not the tails. We're above and not beneath. I don't know the details, but I know what you've said in the word, that you will go before us and make the crooked path straight. I thank you for doing it for these people who are by faith raising their hands and saying, God, we need your help. And I thank you. You know what? You will deliver us with a mighty hand, just like you did, you know what, Israel, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. 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 And then one more thing. We started doing this, but we don't like to end a service now that we don't give people an opportunity to accept Jesus in their heart. Maybe that's you. And right there with your sitting, I'm just asking you to repeat this prayer after me. Let's invite Jesus. The best decision I ever made is when I invited Jesus in my heart. And he started changing me from the inside out. If you want that to happen, I want you to pray this right now, right in your seat. Pray this with me. Father in heaven, I'm asking Jesus in my heart. I want to make Jesus my Lord. I want him to make my decisions. I don't want to make my choices anymore. I want you to decide. And I will be obedient to you. I'm a Christian. And I thank you for Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. 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 Listen, I'm so proud of you for any of those decisions. Many of you might be here for the first time. Or maybe you're not here for the first time, but you're new, but I've never introduced myself to you personally, or Tamara's never been able to introduce herself personally. Here's what we're asking. At the end of the service, and we're going to end real soon, that you would just come up and say hello to us. You know what? It means the world to us. And I want to remind you one more thing. You know what? If you are here for the first time, please, please, please make sure you get your free gift. Don't forget, just turn to the left, ask the information table for your free gift. They will give that to you absolutely free. And we're so glad that you're here. Now, before we dismiss, Tamara has a couple of announcements to make.
Thank you. Men of Hope and Women of Hope, we have that once a month for the men, once a month for the women. It's always the first Friday of the month for the men, and it's the third Friday of the month for women. So that's October 5th and October 19th. Please put that on your calendar so that you have that. Next Sunday, does anyone know, was it confirmed? Are we going to have a food next Sunday? Okay, there might be barbecue chicken next Sunday. So y'all miss the food tent. You tell me all the time you miss luncheons. And so look on our website or look for your text or something. I want to just confirm that because we had changed the date. So I need to make sure our cooks were all in on the date that we had there. So second, 2 weeks is maintenance day. 2 weeks away, which is going to be October the 13th from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock. We're having an all church work day. That'll be here. This is our church, and let's take care of our church, amen, and make sure that God's house is everything that it should be. That's on Saturday, October the 13th. It's a Saturday, 8 to 1, and then the very next day is Sunday, which is October the 14th, and we are starting Academy of Righteousness Level 1. So we're back into the fall and winter season, so we're going to be going back to our Academy of Righteousness classes. If you've taken it before, you can re-sign up and go through it again at no charge. Just let them know that you're coming. If you've never taken it, it's $25 for the MP3s, $40 for the CDs. Those are 4 Sundays consecutively for the class, and then you have some at-home teachings that you do. If you want to grow in knowing God, that's the class for you. You know what? It's level 1 through 5. You take them sequentially, and everyone who takes them is just blown away at their knowledge that they learn about God, about their Bible, about their relationship with God, what he has to say about it, and you will grow by leaps and bounds. So Academy of Righteousness Level 1, 2 weeks from now, October the 14th. And that concludes our service. Don't forget, I love our thing in the back there, Jesus is Lord. That's a fact. It's not going to change. The Bible says every knee will bow one day because the fact that he is Lord, but it's our choice to make him our Lord. So you be sure you make him your Lord this week. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday, and then we have Esperanza service tonight at 6 p.m. In case you come to Esperanza, we'll see you then.